Well, it's a privilege and a pleasure to have Dr. Harding and Mrs. Harding with us this week. I believe it was 7, 8 years ago, the first time that I met him out at pastor school at Rick Sal's Church in Toledo, Ohio. Heard him speak there, and he was just beginning the Capital Connection at that time and got us acquainted with our representative, Glenn Thompson, and since then have gotten to with Fred Keller as well. But what a ministry, what an opportunity that was for us to be able to engage and realize our responsibility to be engaged with our political leaders. And they need to hear from us, folks. Because as he said in Sunday school, it's we the people, or it should be anyway, in charge of this country. They are our representatives. They are not our rulers. They sometimes lose sight of that. But anyway, I'm getting off the target here. Glad to have these folks here. It's good to be able to have a revival service again. It's been 2019 since our last one, and we need it. So just pray and ask God to speak to your hearts this morning, tonight, and Monday through Wednesday nights as well. And I feel confident Brother Harding will be receptive to what God wants him to give to us. So brother, please come and preach to us.
Thank you, Brother Gardner. Amen. Wonderful to be here today.
And it's good to see a great crowd today. Amen. Welcome to church. How many glad to be in church this morning? Say amen.
Yeah.
I mean, rather be here than the best jail in the area? Raise your hand. Some people never raise their hand on that one. I was like, what's going on? I would like to introduce to you, aside from the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my best friend here on earth and my wife and love of my life for 45 years, my wife, Jo. Honey, stand up, turn around, say hello to everyone. There she is right there. So thank you, sweetie. And she travels with me all over the United States. I mean, I pull her everywhere. Sometimes she's got to stay. Now, she likes to travel. I don't force her to come every once in a while. She says, I just got to stay home and rest up a little bit. Hard to keep up with a big dog. Amen. I say, okay. And so I let her, and she does that. But she normally is with me, and so glad that she's with me for these next few days. We are going to be looking at our God for direction, our God for hope and vision, our God for revival. Remember, revival is God's people coming back alive, so to speak. Amen. And when I think about revival, I think about Psalm 85, where God begins through the sweet psalmist of Israel to say something. I love this. I love this. Psalm 85, Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Now, this is God's land. We say, well, how do you know that? Well, I know that his quote unquote biblical land is Jerusalem. I get that. And Israel. I understand that. But I believe as our founding fathers took from God's direction, this is the second Israel. Amen. And we are not a theocracy, but by the way, we're not a democracy either.
Right.
And that's one thing we need to correct. And we will over the next few days kind of get an understanding of what a republic versus a democracy is. It's to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God,
right,
not to the democracy. Amen. And so we need to understand these things. And nowhere in the Constitution is democracy even mentioned. In fact, you're talking about pure democracy around our founding fathers. They'd say, go wash your mouth out with soap. Don't be saying those bad words around us. What bad words? Democracy. Not good. Because democracy is one step from socialism. Socialism is communism with lipstick. That's all that is. Amen. And so God's been good to our land, hasn't he? He's been good to this land that he's entrusted to us for the propagation, as we said in Sunday school, of the gospel. It says, thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins. Selah, that means stop and think. Meditate upon that. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations, will thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. And so we're talking about revival. And this is the beginning. Good beginning. Amen. Now I hope there's as many people here tonight as there is this morning. Say, well, Brother Harding, unless you're working or you're in jail, we'll bail you out, okay? Or you're just so sick that you can't come, we need to be here. You know why? Because this is God's day. This isn't God's morning, it's God's day. Oh, well, we need to get ready for work on Monday. If you want to get ready for work on Monday, be here tonight. So this is the best way to get ready for work on Monday. Amen. I don't know about you. I like the blessings of God. I told Sunday school, I said, I love the blessings of God. I want to get where God's going to kick over the honey bucket. Amen. And by the way, he kicks it over every day. You get that, right? Kicks it over every single day. So someone's getting blessed every day. Say, well, who? Those people that are in the right place. Amen. Now, may I say, God's blessed this country in an amazing way. Amen. And we as God's people need to understand something. That God has given us, entrusted us with something so rare, that law of liberty that we have here. We're the ones and the only ones that can protect you. Say, what are you talking about? I'm saying the past belongs to us. It wasn't the liberals, the left wing, the godless that founded this nation. It was God's people. You know that. From the very beginning, when the 106 separatists got on the Speedwell, sprung the leak, transferred to the Mayflower, came over. They came over here by the will of God to establish a nation for the propagation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To the very present day, we are supposed to be here understanding the fact that we've been given the unique privilege of having a nation that is all about God. We still have the motto, "In God we trust." But somewhere along the line, we slipped out of our biblical responsibility to government, and that's why we're in the mess today. It's not the left wing. It's not their fault. They're blinded. You get that, right? They're blinded, have been blinded, will be blinded. So our past belongs to us. By the way, the future belongs to us as well. And the only way that we're going to see the future go down into a demise is if we don't do what we're supposed to do, because God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from the wicked way, then will I hear from heaven. Aren't you glad we serve a God who answers prayer? Amen. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If our land needs healing, boy, it's now. Amen. Now, when I was younger, I used to hitchhike. You can tell. How can you tell? Now, I wouldn't recommend anyone hitchhike today. It's a different, whole different society today than it was yesterday. But you can tell that I used to hitchhike. How, Brother Harding? By my thumbs. I ruined that one on the way to the East Coast, from the West Coast. I ruined that one on the way back, okay? Now, I couldn't even hitchhike if I want to, because if I try, people just pick me up and drop me around the corner and say, well, that's what I thought you were pointing towards, because I can't go thumbs up unless they go like this. Thumbs up? No, thumbs up, okay? And I remember one time I got real excited because this guy picked me up in this tractor trailer, and I knew tractor trailer was going to be going a long way. So he was one of those guys that was driving one of those tractor trailers and had all the new cars, a double decker and all the new cars on there. And so it was kind of a neat rig, you know, and I ran up, opened up the cab door. He said, not enough room in the cab, get in one of the cars. Okay. So I shut the door and I climbed up actually on the second tier and I got behind one of the wheels of one of the cars. And he took off and I was driving down the road waving at people. He was really into picking up people. He picked up 14 more hitchhikers. We all had our own car. It's like a parade in one, you know, one truck. And he got kind of excited and exceeded the speed limit and he got pulled over and he got a speeding ticket. And so did all of us. I didn't get that at all. It just didn't seem fair. Say, what are you talking about, Brother Harding? Talking about, look, we're in the world, but not of the world. Not guilt by association. I told that story somewhere and someone came up to me. Did that really happen? I said, no, it's a joke. I didn't happen. But what I'm saying is we need to be different, yes. A peculiar people. We need to look different, talk different, think different, act different. We need to listen to different things, yeah. Speak in a different way, amen? And respond differently to what's going on in our culture than anyone else. Say, what are you talking about? I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, Because if we're going to have a revival, if we're going to be able to do something for our nation, it's got to begin with us individually. And then collectively as a body of believers right here, the called out ecclesia. From this church, we could see our nation come to its knees in revival. You say, Brother Harney, are you sure? I am positive. From this church, it could start right here, you see. And so what I'm saying is, perilous times. We live in perilous times. We've lost over these last, well, since last March, over 40 million jobs. 40 million. 6 trillion, and now another 1.7 trillion has been added to our ever-increasing national debt. The Church of Jesus Christ is being more attacked right now than any time in history. Where we see church, especially in California, being told you can't have church, you can't sing, you have to have church outside, you can only have church 50% or 20% or whatever. And if you do, we're going to fine you. Well, the next step is jail term. You understand that, right? And so we've never seen this before in our country. And wait a minute, now where does the Constitution come in where it says that Congress, the highest law-giving body in the land, shall make no law establishing the exercise of our religion. Hey, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So how on earth can governors and mayors and even these health officials and some city, a county executives start telling the church what they can do? That's ridiculous. That's perilous times. That's tyranny, by the way, when we stop obeying the laws of the land. I've had pastors call me. And what do we do, Brother Harding? What do we do? Almost since the time that this began, I've had pastors saying, should we close down? Should we do this? Should we open up? And I said, look, what we need to do is, number one, to take heed to ourselves, first and foremost, and to get back to a biblical stand. Because if we don't, first of all, understand what we're supposed to do during these perilous times, there's no way that we can move forward. Agreed? We must know what God wants us to do in perilous times. Well, God says exactly what we should do and how we should do it, okay? And so in 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says this, beginning in verse 1. This know also. So here's some things that God wants us to get a hold of. In the last days, perilous times shall come. It's not that they might come, they shall come. By the way, they're here. All you got to do is turn on the news. Amen. I don't recommend that, by the way. Okay. You say, you should watch the news or read the news. I like reading the news much more than watch the news, because the news is when they begin with good evening and they tell you why it's not. So don't watch the news. Turn that stuff off. You say, Brother Harding, can you tell me biblically why the left wing or the left wing? Oh, yeah, I can. I mean, God says it right here. It's and it's left versus right. By the way, that transcends both parties. You understand that, right? So it's far beyond any party politic. It's the people that love God or people that hate God, people that love the law, people that hate the law. And it all goes, and just listen to this, hold your place there in 2 Timothy, but it says this in Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 2, a wise man's heart is in his right hand, but a fool's heart is in his left. Hello? Work with me here. That's Bible I'm talking to you about right now, okay? And then it says this, it's very interesting to me that God says that we stand in the ways and we must ask for the old paths. Oh, it's a new way of doing things. I don't want the new way. Okay. Wait, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, I don't mind technology moving forward, but when it comes time to following God, I want the old paths. I want the biblical ways. I don't want people coming up with these. Well, here's something that I've heard too about the convention of the states for the Constitution. Hey, leave the Constitution alone. Yes. The problem with the Constitution is we don't know it. And that's the only problem with the Constitution. You start messing with the Constitution, you're going to open up the door for the left wing to start messing with our Constitution. Right. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, right? And so we as God's people, we need to know what God wants us to do in these perilous times that we are living in right now. And God gives us this right here. And so when I talk to pastors now, I just go through this or even tell them, look, I put it on our website, just go read it there. But we need to ask for the old pass. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16 about the perilous times, they shall come. Why? This is why. Verse 2, look at it. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Huh. That's why perilous times come. People start thinking about themselves and not God, right? Sure it is. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers. It comes from disobedient to parents. Ooh. Young people, take a look at that. Disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors. There's a lot of traitors floating around in positions of power.
Right.
Traitors. You get that, right? My, oh my, false accusers, these traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Look at verse 5, because it goes now from a catalog of corruption to the pretenders. There's a lot of pretenders in the world today as well. We have one sitting in the White House, a pretender. Say, Brother Hardy, you're just kind of plain talking. Yes, I am. By this time, people say, well, I don't think you're politically correct. Thank you. And someone said, I didn't mean that as a compliment. I said, I take it as one. We're about to politically correct ourselves into oblivion. What I am is constitutionally, biblically, and historically correct. Biblically, first of all, because the Constitution is based upon the Bible. Historically, because it bears out God's word. It's his story, okay? And so we have pretenders everywhere, those that have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. We know what God says, from such turn away. I'm sorry, I don't listen to Mr. Biden's speeches. That is, unless I want to laugh, and then I'll turn. Kind of gives me, kind of warms the cockles of my heart that he can't even get through a whole sentence. And he's the leader of the free world. Huh? From such turn away. Say, Brother Hardy, but what does God want us to do? Look at verse 10 for sake of time. This is Paul talking to Timothy. And this is what he says. That word, but, that turns us in 180 degrees the other direction. But thou. See, so now he's talking about a believer. But thou hast fully known my, and then he lists seven things right here. My, number one, doctrine. Number two, manner of life. Three, purpose. Four, faith. Five, long-suffering. Six, charity. Seven, patience. And then he said, from these seven attributes, look at this, in verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them, don't you love this? Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Hey, don't you love that? Out of them all, not some of them, not most of them, but out of them all, God delivered. Hey, guess what? God's going to deliver us. You have to understand that, right? I hope you take hope in that. Out of them all. And look at verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look at verse 14. See what God says? This is what he wants us to do in perilous times. And verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. So what do we do in perilous times? Seven things. And what do we do these seven things? Just continue. When perilous times come, when adversity comes, when the news media gives you a very bleak outlook, we, God's people, do one thing. We continue. And we continue in seven ways. Everyone okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Bless now to take in a very special way once again for us, we thy people. Lord, we pray through and by the holy unction of your blessed and Holy Spirit that you would enter into this congregation, that your presence might once again be readily felt, perceived. Oh God, that you would have free reign in our minds and our hearts. As I step back and surrender everything that I am, Lord, we pray that you would articulate once again, these lips clarify this mind, but most of all, through and by your Holy Spirit, indwell me, dear God, and everything that I say might be an honor and glory unto thee. And oh God, that you would infuse it by and through in the power of your Holy Spirit into our minds and our hearts. Lead us, Lord, into all truth. Show us those things to come, and we'll be very careful for what you're about to do. We ask for a miracle today. We pray this in the precious name of your Son and our Savior. And by the power and the merit and the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it, believing. Amen. So what do we do in perilous times? We continue in seven things. The first thing that we continue is doctrine. See, it says already what to continue in. God's given that to us in verse 10. The very first thing is our belief system. What do we believe? We believe in the Bible, right? That's our belief system. By the way, everything rests upon that book right there. Everything. All other books are dark planets. That's the sun that enlightens them. We gauge everything that comes into our life. Big problem with some of the young people today, they're being subjected to a bunch of falsehoods and nonsense in our institutions of higher learning. And the young people that go in there and stand strong understand something. Hey, it all rests on that book right there. Everything comes back to God's word. Without God's word, there's nothing. Right. But it's what everything is measured by. That's why we need to make much of it in these last days. May I say this? We need to read it more like we've never read it before. Mm-hmm. We need to memorize. I'm going to ask a question. It's rhetorical. Don't raise your hand. I wonder how many verses you've memorized this year so far. How many verses did you commit to memory last year? See, because God wants us to read it, to study it, to memorize it, to meditate upon it. I love that concept of meditating on God's word. You know why? Because when we get it here, we can bring it up over and over again. I don't know if I ever brought that illustration here, but I love the illustration of cows ruminating. I always could never really figure out how cows would get under the shade tree and they'd be chewing something, they'd swallow it, and then they'd bring something back up again. And they start chewing it. I thought, what on earth? It's got to be double, double, bubble, bubble, okay? But what it was they have one stomach, that's their primary, secondary, tertiary, I mean, it goes on. And they just, they'll eat a bunch of grass, put it in that primary stomach, and they'll bring it up and they'll chew it again. You know, I thought that'd be great going to school, you know, hungry before lunchtime, amen? And I could think, yeah. He'd say, what are you doing? I'm eating. What are you eating? Snickers bar. Where'd you get it? I ate it last night. I just brought it back up and chewed it. Say, Brother Harding, trying to be gross? Yes. But I'm trying to give you a biblical point too. And that fact is this, when we have God's word here, we can bring it up over and over again and get nourished spiritually and be those good people whose steps are ordered by the Lord. Amen. Hey, we need to make much of God's word more than we've ever made of it before. Put it up there. Get it into your mind and your heart. Breathe it, live it, read it, speak it, and think it. That is basically what we need to understand, that as we go through our history, we need to, number one, if we want revival, we need to get thoroughly right with God. And we do that through and by the reading of his word. Amen. That's what you call cleansing. You see and you are convicted by God's word, and then you ask him, please, Lord, forgive me. And that's the prime essential. If that doesn't happen, revival doesn't come. So you say, well, Brother Harding, I want revival this week. First and foremost, you need to get back to the standard and you need to say, God, help me to get right with you clean. And then secondly, you need to get right with others as well. Amen. That means you need to make sure that you're not harboring bitterness against someone. I touched on this a little bit in Sunday school, and I'll touch on it a little bit more, but you need to get right with others. And then secondly, after you do those two things in step one, secondly, then you bind yourselves together, get someone accountable and start praying. You know how revival comes? This is how revival comes. People start praying together and saying, we're going to continue to pray until revival comes, till God sends the rain, till the Holy Spirit of God comes down. Could be husband and wife. You know, some of the greatest revivals that the world has ever seen are from young people getting together. The great Welsh revivals of yesteryear, where they sang one chorus for hours while hundreds of people continue to come down the aisles, and not just come down the aisles from the church, they would come in from the township into the church, wondering why they were there, and get under conviction and start coming forward. I don't know why I'm here, but I need something. And the pastor would say, you need God. Yeah. And that's why you're here. It started with a 21-year-old and a teenage girl that got together and started praying. And they just said, we're going to bind ourselves together. Hey, whole church congregations can bind themselves together on Wednesday night Bible studies and pray for a certain extent during that time frame for revival, and bind themselves in groups and say, God, please, Lord, bring us your Holy Spirit once again. But first and foremost, us right with him, with one another. Then binding together. Number three, avail ourselves to God. Put ourselves completely in his hand. That means when you wake up in the middle of the night. Huh? I ate too much pizza last night. I had a second piece. Sorry. Sin. Maybe got very close to that line of gluttony, you know. And I woke up. Anyone ever have a baby burp? Come on. Come on, work with me here. Okay? Are we Baptists or not? Okay? This is very biblical. All right? And I woke up, tasted that pizza a second time, okay? But when we wake up, we need to start going to God, saying, Lord, thank you for waking me up. Maybe there's a reason I'm awake right now, to pray for the revival in my heart and in the hearts of God's people here, for our country, for these young people. Some of these young people have no idea. The last thing she understood was double bubble, okay? But for her, we need to start getting serious. We need to start understanding that revival can come. And every time those three things happened, a revival came. It all comes from the standard of God's word, and realizing that God's word is that very thing that Christians need to realize. Our standard is eternal. It's perfect. Our standard was made flesh and dwelt among us. Our standard lived for us, died for us, rose again for us. Our standard, Jesus Christ, came here. And he was the one that liberated us from the tyranny of sin. And I don't know if you remember. I remember. I didn't get saved till I was 21. I remember the sin of the world. I remember those days where I was filled with regret. But God came in and gave me a new heart and a song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. See a little one back there? She's looking at me, saying, why is that guy getting so excited? Would to God, everyone would get excited about their salvation every once in a while. Have a little fit, amen. Take your shoes off and go run through your house. Praising God. Too many times, problem is, we get over our salvation. Huh? How long have you been saved? How many years? About.
I got saved when I was 22, 40, about 20 years.
About 20 years. After 20 years, sometimes. Kind of another day, right? Every once in a while, we need to take inventory. Yes. How long have you been saved, ma'am?
I thought I'd be saved for ever.
Yeah. And then you got assurance?
In December.
Wow. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Amen. You know, there's times I ask Christians, how you doing? You know? And they say, fine. Mm-hmm. You know what I feel like saying? Would you please tell your face about it? Because they look like they've been eating oatmeal out of a gas pipe. I said, does your face hurt you? Because it's killing me. Okay. And I hear some guys say, well, I just don't naturally smile. Well, work on it. Look in the mirror and smile. Practice. This is our billboard for God. Amen. Amen. I love my wife. I can still make her giggle. She still makes me laugh. We have a good time together. We're always laughing and walking up to different places of service. You know, we walk into the airport. The other day, we walked into the airport. We've given every person in Southwest on that particular, I mean, all given them tracks. And we came in. One lady said, hey, Dr. Harding, how you doing? I was in line, people looking at me like, who is that guy? You know, and this person recognized me. That because my wife and I, we walk up and we say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm fine. Let me give you something to read about our best friend. Good news from a far country. And we all need good news, don't we? And you can see them, yes, we do, you know. And of course, we write, and we've written tracts that we've given to the members of Congress. So some of them back if you want to take one. And but my wife and I wrote this, over 25,000 of these have gone out. Okay, this is God's word. Salvation through and by God's word. And we say, I've given this to every member of Congress. I have 500, all 535 would like to give you one. See how important you are? Oh, thank you. But it talks about the foundation of the Capitol, foundation of our nation, and the sure foundation of our eternal soul, Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is every once in a while, we need to take inventory. And just like the brothers, Lord, help us to understand no matter what happens, we're on our way to heaven. You ever thought about that for a while? I'm on my way to heaven. You know, that'll put a smile on your face. Yeah. Amen. And look, we need to have a good time in our Christian life. Don't endure to the end. Amen. I wave at people. I have no idea who they are. Hey, they go, hey, I don't know who that person is right there. Amen. Or just people, you know, people traveling, you know, they're like this. I say, hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Oh, yeah, okay, you know, and at least they're smiling for a few minutes, right? What I'm saying is every once in a while, we need to take inventory. The fact that we're saved, that would do something for us. It would do something for our families. It will do something for our church. By the way, it'll do something for the lost. And it's all here, getting in and meditating upon the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. We are so very unique in the fact that God has liberated us from the chains of sin. He's given us a standard that's guided our founding fathers from the very beginning of our country, that's girded our soul for battle as they ran into battle more times than none, half starved, not enough clothes to cover their body, not enough leather to cover their feet, with dilapidated weapons. And yet they continue to go and to fight. And this is why. Listen to what George Washington addressed his men August 27th, 1776, talking about God's word and how it came into play in the War for Independence. He said this, quote, "The time is now near at hand, which must probably determine whether Americans are to be free men or slaves." Guess what? That time's arrived again. Amen? Right up to date, isn't it? Yes. It goes on to say whether they are to have any property that they can call their own, whether their houses and farms are to be pillaged and destroyed, and they themselves consigned to a state of wretchedness from which no human efforts will deliver them. The fate of unborn millions will now depend under God on the courage and conduct of this army. Our cruel and unrelenting enemy leaves us only the choice of brave resistance or the most abject submission. We have therefore to resolve to conquer or die, end quote. See, Brother Harding, what are you saying? Pick up our weapons? No, I'm saying pick up the truth, God's word. That's our weapon of warfare today. Not made with man's hands, not carnal, spiritual. We need to know God's word and how it's reflected in the Constitution of the United States. 28 biblical principles in the United States that give us some amazing rights and privileges. And I'll tell you, some people would be very embarrassed if I asked for the first five rights guaranteed us under the first Bill of Rights. There's some people right here that might be very embarrassed by that. We used to learn about this in elementary school. Hey, the freedom of religion. We've already talked about that one. The freedom of speech, the freedom of the press, the freedom to peaceably assemble, the freedom to redress our grievances. Those are the first five under the first Bill of Rights. Second Bill of Rights is to own and to bear weapons. The president is threatening to sign an executive order. If he does that, that will be tyranny. I'll guarantee you there will be a lot of problems if he ever does something like that, because the Second Amendment right predates the Constitution of the United States. It's biblical. And when God talks about make sure your sin will find you out, specifically, he's talking about if you, that tribe, doesn't help your brethren with weapons, make sure your sin will find you out. I have a whole message on the Second Amendment. You think about this, the concealed carry permit. We lived in Oklahoma for a time, and the concealed carry permit is something that reciprocity with Texas and the other states. And so if you have a concealed carry permit in Oklahoma, and there was a nice, very nicely dressed, petite Christian lady driving from Oklahoma to Texas with a concealed carry permit, and she got pulled over by a police officer. She got kind of excited, nervous. She gave him her concealed carry permit instead of her license. The Texas State Trooper looked at it. She said, "I'm sorry, officer, that's my concealed carry permit. Here's my license." Finally, the officer said, "Ma'am, do you have weapons in the car?" She said, "Oh, yes, officer. I have a 357 Magnum under my console right here. I have a 45 in my glove box. I have a sawed-off shotgun in the back seat there, and I have a 22 in my purse." He said, "Ma'am, what are you afraid of?" She said, "Absolutely nothing." And that's America. Amen. But those rights are under attack.
Right.
You understand, right? And we, God's people, we need to understand the Bible, the 28 biblical principles in the Bible that give us the Constitution of the United States. Those are things that we need to know and be able to protect. And those are the very things that gave us our standard of liberty, that someone else, you see, did that. And the reason why our culture is in a state of panic is because many have forsaken the standard of God's word that has liberated not just the soul of man, but mankind from the subservience of the tyranny to man. Why? Why does man always want to enslave man? Because the spirit of the Antichrist is with us. That's why. And we have people, get this now, this is, staggering even to say. We have people in the leadership of this nation that are God haters and that want to control people.
Right.
It is amazing to see where we are. And what I'm saying is, look, as we realize that the news is sensationalizing it, oh, they're a bunch of chicken littles, even Fox News. I don't watch Fox News. And now I read a lot of my news, the Epoch Times. I would definitely recommend that. Newsmax TV has a good amount of written news, and I like them. And their commercials, if you do have an opportunity to watch every once in a while, they're people that are talking about Jesus Christ or the Trumpy Bear. They're not doing that anymore. That was kind of interesting. But in any case, the news media, they're sensationalizing things. Oh, they started, get this now, they started, remember, global warming. Huh? Al Gore, global warming. It's all going to burn up. Yeah, it is one day. It is one day, Al, but not right now. Well, it's global warming. But then they sent, remember the ship to the polar ice cap and they got iced in? Studying global warming. They sent a ship to rescue them. They got iced in. I don't know about you, that warms the cockles of my heart. Then they changed it from global warming to climate change. What's climate change? Climate change. Look, I want to show you something here. Go with me to Exodus 8. Exodus 8. Are you with me today? Say amen.
Amen.
Hey, I need to ask when to stop, because when do I stop? When am I supposed to stop? When I'm done? Okay. Don't get worried. A lot of people just looked up like that a second ago. I understand that the head and the heart cannot receive what the posterior cannot endure. So I get it. Okay, I'm not going to. But let me just show you something here. This is God talking about climate change. Okay? See, it says Exodus 8 and verse 22. And while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter. Hey, cold and heat. Hey, climate change. What do you think about that, huh? And summer and winter, look at this. And day and night shall not cease. So all your chicken littles are talking about climate change. Guess what? God says you're always going to have climate change. Get over it. You bunch of buttercups, suck it up. You know? My, oh my. Now, my wife, she's a wonderful little recycler. My wife recycles. She has a bin for recycle and a bin for trash. If I'm caught putting something in the trash that is, oh, see, I struck a nerve right there. Okay. you feel my pain? Okay. All right. Okay. And so I go to put in the trash. My wife says, "That's not trash. That's recycle." And I say, "Honey, it's all going to burn up." I try to be scriptural with her. She doesn't want to hear it. Just, do it. But I'm just teasing. I'm teasing my wife. I'm teasing my wife. But she does do that. She has done that, okay, to a certain degree, all right? But what I'm saying is, hey, we need to continue to look at God's word and realize, hey, God has given us a standard of living. It's who and what we are. It's right here. Baptists are biblicists. If it's in the book, hey, we do it. If the book warns against it, guess what? We don't. It's real easy being a Baptist. I love being a Baptist. Amen. I love it. Say, Brother Harding, but you know, being a Baptist isn't going to get you to heaven. Yeah, but if you're going to go to heaven, you might as well go first class. Okay, so that's why I'm a Baptist. Amen. So what I'm saying is, look, the Bible girded our warriors and guided our statesmen from the very beginning. And we need to understand, as the news sensationalizes it and the left wing politicizes it and the devil, he weaponizes it, God's people, we must biblicize it. We must go to God's word, and because why? We have an anchor. That's why. That's our anchor. It's the thing that gives us who we are. So doctrine is what we receive from God very quickly. A manner of life is what we give to God. Receive the doctrine. We give God our manner of life. That's the second thing that Paul talks to Timothy back over there. If you would go back with me over to 2 Timothy very quickly, what I'm going to do, and with your pastor's permission, I'm going to continue this message tonight to see how many of you are really serious about knowing the seven things to do in perilous times, okay? Because I'm taking names right now. I'm visualizing faces, okay? And your pastor knows where you live. I'm just kidding. I come from Washington, D.C., where we keep records, you know. But our manner of life basically is what we believe in all areas. We don't compartmentalize our faith. Our faith is who we are everywhere we go, or should be. Amen? I mean, when I worked in the world, when I was at Diplomatic Security Service, everyone knew I was a Christian. They knew not to talk half color around me or give those jokes that were on the edge. Because they knew I was a Christian. I made no bones about it, you see. And because of that, there was a time where one of the men that worked for me came into my office and said, "What do you have that I don't have, Brother Harding?" He said, "Major Harding, actually, because it's paramilitary rank structure." He said, "Well, you have something I don't have. What do you have that I don't have?" And it was because I made sure everyone knew I was a Christian, and I would say, don't talk that way around me. Now, it was pretty easy once I became the deputy commander, so that meant that I was their boss. Okay. I said, "What do you want to know, Vince?" He was, by the way, the Marine sniper that would step out of Marine One, the helicopter, when it landed on the White House lawn. Reagan was in office and saluted in full dress uniform as Reagan walked through. He was that guy. He said, "My wife was just diagnosed with cervical cancer, and I need to know what you know, because I watched you in a bomb threat. Everyone's running around with it like a chicken with their head cut off, and you're just standing there giving orders. I've seen you under great pressure, and you just, there's something you have that I don't have. I need to know what it is." Well, it was after hours. I led him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Went over to his house a week later, led his wife to the Lord, and then was very careful to tell his wife there was no miracle workers but God, and God still performs miracles. Amen. And I asked God, "Lord, these two young people have just accepted you as Savior, just been saved. They want to have children. Lord, you are the great physician. Baffle the doctors, touch her body and heal her." And then I left. And a week later, Vince came into my office floating about this far off the floor and said, "Major Harding, the doctors said they were wrong. She has no cancer." I said, "The doctors weren't wrong. God showed up and performed a miracle for you, Vince. Don't ever forget that." Now they're mom and dad and living a life that God, I believe, is honored with. What I'm saying, our manner of life is this. We have a duality of citizenship. You see it right here. America and heaven. Our King, King Jesus, and the greatest nation on earth. We have responsibilities to both. Jesus Christ said it. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, unto God the things that are God's. What he was saying was we have a responsibility to both of the governments that we, as Christians, are a part of. That's why we have to understand our manner of life needs to reflect who and what we are. I'm going to close with this for today and then pick up tomorrow to tonight where we leave off. We had the National Prayer Call for America that we started March a year ago when it all hit. And for 70 plus days, we had a national prayer call where five pastors prayed from all over the United States, different five pastors every night. Alaska and Hawaii were involved as well. So all 50 states. We had governors, and we had Louis Gohmert and Doug Collins, and Rand Paul was just on recently, in fact. And for 70 days straight, with the exception of Sundays, we had a national prayer call. One night, a man by the name of Gary Bykirk, he is the Medal of Honor recipient. Some of you probably know him. He's fighting cancer. Very grievous cancer, but he's the chaplain of the Medal of Honor Society. There's 69 living Medal of Honor recipients out of 320 million people. So that shows you the uniqueness of these men that received the highest award for valor in our nation for unbelievable service and putting their life on the line. Gary's one of those men, and actually the chaplain. And he got on the national prayer call at my invitation. And he said, you know, when it first broke, and this was right after it broke, he said, I wrote all of the Medal of Honor recipients because they all have pre-existing conditions, having been wounded in their endeavor to put their life on the line for us, by the way. And he said, I wrote them a letter. And he said, it was interesting to me because I was watching the news, and there was a man talking to his children that one day they'll tell their grandchildren they survived the COVID-19 pandemic. He said, as a Green Beret Special Forces medic, that word survive really struck me because I'd taken so many survival classes. And my mind went back to the early days when I was in Vietnam in the hills, and I was talking to a young indigenous tribal boy of the Monte Yard tribe. And I asked this boy, would you teach me how to survive? Because I'm afraid of tigers and snakes and the unknowns in the jungle. And the little boy laughed at me. He said, I don't want to teach you how to survive. I want to teach you how to live. The jungle gives us life. I went, wow, this is Gary speaking. Life. He said, for the next year, that young boy taught me in the midst of something fearful that I remembered why I was there. I wasn't there to survive. I was there to live, and by the way, to live for others. He said, you know, as a born-again believer, and he's an independent Baptist from New York, he said, we've been given a great gift. It's the gift of eternal life. And even through the pandemic, when everyone is fearful of the unknown, we need to continue to go forward. We need to live for others. The most miserable people in the world are those people that live for themselves. Huh? But the people that really have the joy in the Christian life, the abundant life, are people that live for others. I remember there was that great man by the name of General Booth that started the Salvation Army, and he was going to be talking to the Oxford University students, the best and brightest of the Empire of Great Britain of yesteryear. And all the young men were saying, how long is he going to speak for? What great words of wisdom was this wonderful man going to say that literally through his endeavors, hundreds of thousands of people have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? What is he going to say? And so he was introduced, and he walked up to the podium, and he looked at all these bright young men, and he said, gentlemen, I have three things for you today. Others. 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 And he went and sat down. Because life for us is others. I don't know if you remember when it first hit. You know what I saw? People come out of the big box stores holding two cases of toilet paper. They were just squeezing it. He said, don't squeeze the Charmin. Those of you laughing, you're a little bit older. Those are looking at me like, what is he talking about? Well, it was an old commercial. Don't squeeze the Charmin. They were squeezing the Charmin. They were squeezing. They were coming out. There were huge smiles on their faces. Toilet paper. I'm thinking, something's wrong with this picture. Okay? I've never seen these people smile bigger than my and they come out with all these carts, you know, filled. You know, look, I'm not saying it's wrong to be ready and to be stockpiled, so to speak, in an emergency, but don't make that who you are. We need to be living for others during this pandemic. During these perilous times, we need to continue to live for others. As soon as we were able, my wife and I got right back on the road. People were saying, are you traveling? Yeah, I'm traveling. Why wouldn't I be traveling? Well, you know, because of what? Because of the fear of man?
Right.
No. We're traveling. First place we went to? Bath Springs, Tennessee. They hadn't had one outbreak of the COVID, but it was the first time that they were able to come back and worship in church. I asked the guy, living in Maryland, you know, right outside of Washington, D.C., You know, I'm living behind enemy lines, but we won't go there. Okay, but in any case, living in Maryland, everything was locked down. You know, no one could go out to any restaurants or anything. We went to Bass Springs. I said, so where are we going to eat? He said, we're going to eat at this barbecue restaurant right down here. I said, really? He said, oh, yeah. No one was wearing a mask. Walked into the barbecue place. There was the buffet. Waitresses walking around without a mask. I'm saying, yeah, I like Bath Springs, Tennessee. I think I'll move here for a while, you know? And then when we came to church, my, oh, my, because there hadn't been one outbreak at all. And people were hugging each other. Social distance, what's that, you know? And it was refreshing to see that these people were not falling back in fear. They were going forth. And so what we need to understand is this. Look, you understand the world's still looking for peace, right? People are still looking for a purpose, a reason, from faith in the fear. Hey, we have it. We need to be living for others. God says in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Where's our trust today? In what the CDC says? I hope not. What Fauci says? Oh, don't get me started. Oh, masks don't work. Well, now you got to wear two masks. He said the same thing twice. Look, Dr. Blalock, which is the leading authority on infectious diseases, says, you know what a mask is worth? It's like wearing a chain link fence on your face, trying to keep a mosquito out. They don't work. So then why is everyone wearing a mask? Well, it's because of, you know, concern for others. No, it's because of control. And that's exactly why it's happening. They don't work. And so what we need to understand is our manner of life should reflect an upward and then outward love. And God continues to give us that manner of life. The number three will be purpose. That's okay. I don't care if she calls out. That's the future calling out. Amen. That's right. She's just doing that because I haven't yelled lately. Okay. She's trying to get some attention. She said, well, if he's not yelling, I'm going to take care of it. And I'm going to, but what I'm saying is, look, our purpose is what we'll pick up with tonight. What is our purpose? To reflect who he is. May I say this? I have great expectation for the future. I have a great expectation for this meeting. But the more people come and visitors, even that you bring, that will multiply God's power through people because he uses people. So what I'm saying is tonight, may we come back with expectation of God meeting with us this evening and continuing on in these seven things to do in perilous times. I'll finish them tonight and then we will go forward with what God has for us. So be in your place, amen. And if you don't come, I'll be coming after you. Hey, God's been so good to us. May we continue to respond to him. Someone, you know, and I think someone just mentioned this a moment ago. I can tell by the reactions. Someone said, you look like President Trump. I don't get that at all. But I do know some people think it because we walked into a pretty big function and a lady looked at me and she went, oh, oh, oh. I knew what she was thinking. But when we walk through Washington, D.C., I don't mind if people think, oh, I did weigh more at one time between haircuts and maybe with a little suntan, but I shall not be overcombed. We won't go there. But in any case, I don't mind that at all. But what I really want people to see in me is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so should we all. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and just ask God to, in this invitation time, if God spoke to your heart, it wouldn't be amiss at all for you to even come forward to an old-fashioned altar and ask God just to help you to make more of his word. It wouldn't hurt at all for you to come forward and say, Lord, I really want a revival in my heart. How often do we need a revival, Brother Harding? Every single day, we need a revival in our hearts. So if you are that person that says, you know, God spoke to my heart about something that you said, I'm going to just offer, the altar is open. You can even come now before the music even begins to play. But let me ask you this question before you come to that invitation. Is there anyone here today that would say, Brother Harding, I don't even know for sure when I die, I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure about that, but I'm positive I don't want to go to hell. Brother Harding, would you pray for me? Here's my hand. I'd be glad to pray for anyone like that at all today. It's a Brother Harding, I'm not sure I'm going to heaven. All right. If you would stand to your feet, I want you to stand. I'm not going to have anyone sing. I'm not going to have the piano even to play. I'm just going to have you stand. If you think that God spoke to your heart about something, you believe that you perceive the Holy Spirit of God, I just want you to come forward right now. The altar's open. People are already at the altar. If you want to join them, that's fine. Then we're going to go eat. Isn't it wonderful that Baptists, we would preach and then we'd be beaten. Preach and we'd be jailed. Preach and we'd be hung. Now we can preach and go eat. What a refreshing change that is. So if you would like to use the altar is open for you. And as people come, we'll tarry a minute. And we'll pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us. Lord, thank you for this time where the altar, reminiscent of Old Testament altars, where God's best people did your best work by offering themselves. Lord, they offered a sacrifice in the Old Testament. We offer ourselves as sacrifice to you, Lord, for that reasonable service. Help us, dear God, undertake for us in a very special way. Thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit, for who and what you are, and for allowing us to know what to do in perilous times. We pray this in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, and by the power and the merit and the authority that is in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Brother Codner to come. And Brother Codner, I have some materials. I didn't explain them. If you want me to take a minute now or tonight, whatever you want to do, it's up to you. You want me to do it? You ready for a commercial? How many are ready for a commercial? How many are hungry? Brother Harding, please make it fast. Okay. All right. So there's very, very quickly, there are constitutions. Everyone needs to know the Constitution. Read it. That is the best little pamphlet I've ever found in the Constitution. It has Washington giving you the goose quill pen in the front. You read it, and there's a place for you to sign it in the back. Most people have never even read the Constitution, and yet there's people right now on battlefields putting their life on the line for the Constitution. It's birthed in blood. One of our prayer cards with a lot of amazing information on the back, which includes our website. You can go there for free videos and information, the 100 documents that made America. If you'd like to pick up a few of the examples of George Washington, Liberty or Bondage, or Sure Foundation, those two tracts that my wife and I wrote that we've given out to the members of Congress, you can pick that up. If you like music, there's some good music CDs. That's a solo of myself. I'm going to be singing this week, so you might want to see if I can sing and then buy the CD. So, okay. And then there is a quartet as well back there. And those are for a gift of $10. This book, I am very, very excited about this book. It's called Praying Scripture Through Adversity. And one thing that I don't think we've done as much as we should is actually pray the great prayers of the Bible. And this is an amazing array, compilation of those prayers, all categorized for you. And it's nothing but God's word. That's why I tell people, buy it, but don't read it. Pray through it. And but it's all about seeking the Lord, calling upon him, trusting in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. God is my guide, refuge, strength, help, defense, deliverer, comforter, peace. And it's beautifully done with the old etchings of yesteryear and just scriptures that you can pray through. That book will change your life. And that's for a gift of $10 as well. My wife and I put that together. And then this one here is written by our pastor. It says, this is your chapter, write it well. You know, one thing we don't do that we should do, even you young people need to acquire, is write journals. So I type stuff on the computer. We may not have computers one day. The only thing left could be the written word. The reason why we know so much about our founding fathers is because they journaled, men and women. The ladies call it diary. The men always journaled. This will help you to start journaling. This is a beautiful book with a beautiful pages. The paper is beautiful. And it gives you ways that you can jumpstart your journaling in your life. Why? So that people will know what God's done for you, what he's doing for you, the things that God has performed in your life. That's an amazing book as well. And that's for a gift of $10. And then, of course, there are the DVDs back there. Some of you have already received these, bought these before. All six of these are for a gift of $5. And so you get all six for $50 or $10 a piece. Barbary Powers War, and the fact that Muslims try to destroy us from the very inception of our nation, they're still trying to do it today. Amen. Because the Quran is diametrically opposed to the Bible and our Constitution, that the Bible had basically has given the Constitution to us. And so it also shows you that the man that wrote our national anthem was a soul winner. He led the first Muslim congressman to the Lord Jesus Christ, John Randolph, in the 1700s. So isn't it wonderful that our author of our national anthem, Francis Scott Key, was a soul winner. And then our biblical constitution, most people don't know it's Bible-based. And that gives you kind of like a little bit of a taste of what it is so you can study. This is an 82-minute virtual tour through Washington, D.C., where I show you from the monuments and memorials, this is a Christian nation. And there's scriptures everywhere, all over Washington, D.C. And that's an amazing video. And it also has some special features, which is Woody Williams that I mentioned, who is a Medal of Honor recipient, 97 years old, going strong from World War II. Foundations that sustain America, the faith, the family, the fabric of our nation. The fabric is E Pluribus Unum, out of many one. That means you come here to America. You need to come legally, but you can become an American. And you need to learn our language, by the way, too. Amen. And hold up our Constitution. The sacred fire of the American pulpit. The reason why our founders were who they were was because of pastors and who they were. So these young boys saw pastors being literally beaten and preaching at the threat of their own life. And so one day when they grew up, they said, you know what? If preachers can preach the gospel in the threat of their life, we can sign a document that will free them to do so in the threat of our life. And that's an amazing DVD. And then this one is our latest one, The Miracle of Revival. We didn't start this country through a revolution. We started this country through a revival that so put us together that we had the wherewithal to believe that we could actually win against the greatest military in the world. And then there are these books here. These will be very soon gone, and there'll be collector's items. These are the books that we've given over the last 8 years to all the members of Congress. This is the first book that I wrote, co-authored this, and it's called The Prayers That Shaped America. And it is an amazing compilation with wonderful photographs, all the prayers of the presidents, the patriarchs, the pilgrims that came. It's real leather. It's gilded edged. Even the fly leaf is done of the books of yesteryear. It actually cost us more than what we're selling it for. It costs us about $50 to print. We're selling it for $40 with the sleeve. Without the sleeve, it's $30. And I love the smell of good leather, don't you? Okay, but in any case, that's The Prayers That Shaped America. The Foundations That Sustain America. Again, that's from a message that I preached. And it is, again, an amazing array of the matrix of liberty and why our liberty works. The first seal of the United States was Moses leading the children of Israel through the Red Sea with the pillar of fire in the background. And around that seal of the United States, proposed by Dr. Benjamin Franklin and Thomas Jefferson, were the words, rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. And that's why they stood against the rebellion and tyranny of man. And there it is right there, the first seal of the United States. Most people don't even know that that even exists. But that is the fact that we believed as God delivered the nation of Israel from the tyranny of Egypt, he would deliver the people of the United States from the tyranny of Great Britain. And so that's another one there, and that's for a gift of $40 with the sleeve or $30 without. I like it with the sleeve because it's exactly how we've given it to all the senators and congressmen. This is a book that I revised. It's called The Christian Life and Character of the Civil Institutions of the United States. It's blue leather, it's beautifully done, and it's an amazing array of how our Christian life that we lived out actually came about. Our civil institutions were based upon our Christian life and character. And so that's an amazing book. That was written in the 1800s. That's why I revised it. So I took all the phonetic F's out that were S's. And so that's also for a gift of the same price, $40. And I think we don't have any without the sleeve. So that's still $10 under what I bought it. And I'd be glad to sign it because my autograph and $5 gets you a cup of coffee right down here. And so commercial's over. And Brother Codner, thank you.
Thank you, Brother. Amen.
Be here tonight. Folks, one of the things about a meeting like this is it's a concentrated time to be exposed to this, to break a routine, to to just concentrate on getting our hearts right with God, to be where we need to be the influence in our community, in our nation that we need to be. So please make an effort to be here each and every night. Amen. Let's stand, and Corby, if you would dismiss us in prayer.